Okay, today's daf is Mem Tet. We're going to start back on Mem Chet. I'm a bet we're just going to quickly review from the top. The third line, Ki Ata Rav Yitzchak. Okay, we're not going to go through the whole thing here, but we're going to do parts so that we can get to where we are today. Ki Ata Rav Yitzchak. When Rav Yitzchak came, he brought a braita that says, Tani, Kivsei Atzeret Sheshachatan Shelo Kemitzvatam Psulin. If you shech the two Kivsei Atzeret, we're still on those two kvasim that you bring with the Shtei Alechem. If you, that you bring for a korban shlamim, remember you bring all sorts of other sacrifices, lo olah with it, and the series of mechal lechatat. But the kibseh atzeret sheshchatan shelo kemitzvatan are psulin. So if you did them shelo lishma, even though they're korban shlamim, generally we say korban shlamim shelo lishma is valid. But here we say, according to Rav Yitzchak anyway, we're going to see there's a machloket. If you did it shelo kemitzvatan, psulin. Vitu Bartsura Tambi Yatsula Beta Srefa, and you have to leave it overnight to become disqualified, you know, to and then burn it the next day. Amar of Nachman, okay, now we're gonna have a different opinion. Mar Dimakishlu Lachatat Tani Psulim. He says, Mar, meaning Rav Yitzchak, who basically said, if you do them shalo lishma, it's psulim, he compares Kivsei Atzeret to a chatat. Why is Kivsei Atzeret different from a regular Korban Shlamim? Because it's a korban tzibur, it's a generally korbanot shlamim. Many of them are not korbanot tzibur. These are community offerings, and therefore he says they're like a chatat, and we're going to treat them. If you do it shalo lishma, it's psulim. But Tana debe Levi, but Levi learned degamar shlamei chova mishalmei nedava. He learns out that shlamim are like shlamim, and that even though they're shalmei chova, actually it's not so much that they're tzibur, but because they're tzibur, they're obligatory. So he learns out obligatory shlamim offerings from voluntary shlamim offerings, and therefore says that they're not pasul; they're actually valid, right? Just shelo alu lebalim l'shem chova. Tani kshirim, and therefore he says they're kshirim. Detani Levi, and here he brings the bright of Levi. Ushar shlamei nazir sheshchatan shelo kemitzvatan kshirim velo alu lebalim l'shem chova. Okay, he says the shlamei nazir, which are also obligatory. That's why better to say obligatory and not, like I said, communal. It's that they're obligatory. If you did them shelo kemitzvatam, they're kshirim. But lo alu lebalim shem chova v'nechalim liyala leviyom vein tunim lo lechem velo zra. Right? He treats them as a regular korban shlamim. Okay, I'm going to skip now and I'm going to go down a little further. We'll start now from actually, maybe we'll just read through quickly. Okay, since I didn't do yesterday's off, we'll just go quickly from here. Meitive. Okay, now we're going to bring a contradiction. The source says, Asham ben shana vehevi ben shtayim. Ben shtayim vehevi ben shana. Okay, you have to remember, we learned this before, a ben shana is called, a keves is a ben shana, and an ayil is a ben shnatayim. Okay? The assumption is they're the same animal, it's just when it's in the first year, it's called keves, when it's in the second year, it's called an ayil, as far as I understood. So if you bring an asham ben shana, there are different ashamot. Some need to be brought with a keves, that's ben shana, and some need to be brought with an ayil, that's ben shnatayim. So if you have an asham ben shana, vevi ben shtayim, or ben shtayim, vevi ben shana, psulim v'tu abar tzu atam v'yetzu lebet ha-srefa. So if you bring, if it's in the wrong year, right, the wrong animal, it gets burned. Aval olat nazir v'olat yoledet v'olat mitzora, shayu b'nei shtei shanim v'shachatan, Kshirim. Okay, but if you brought in Olat Nazir, an Olat Yoledet, or Olat Mitzorah, that were ben shtei shanim, and you shechted them, they're kshirim. This is the klal here. Kol ha-kasher ba-olat nedava, kasher ba-olat chova. Ve-kol ha-pasu b'chatat, pasu ba-asham. Chutz mishalo lishmo. So now they say, here we see that what? If it's kasher, Right. This is, by the way, this is a contradiction on what Rav Yitzchak said. Rav Yitzchak says, "If you shechem shalokim and svatan is psulim." Okay, so now we're going to say, if it would work b'diavad as an olat nidava, then it'll also work as an olat chova. In other words, the olat nidava and the olat chova are the same. Like we saw, Levi said, right? But that wasn't what Rav Yitzchak said. Rav Yitzchak said, as soon as it's chovah, it goes into the world of chatat. Okay? And then it's going to be pasul. So now, We say, very simply, Hi Tana, Tana de Levi Hu. In other words, the Tana of that Braita was Levi, and therefore it doesn't contradict Rav Yitzchak, because that's Levi's Shita. Okay, now we're going to have a problem with Rav Nachman, who brought Levi in. Okay, Tashma. De Tane Levi, Asham Nazir v'Asham Atzor, Sheshachatan Shalo l'shman k'sherim, v'lo alu l'balim l'shem chova. Okay, so in Asham Nazir, Asham Atzor, if you did it Shalo l'shma, it's kasher, but doesn't work for your obligation. Shchatan mechusar zman bebaalim, o shayu b'nei shtei shanim u'shchatan, psulin. Okay, if you did them, right, mechusar zman means if you did them, right, you had the wrong intent of the time?
If you didn't.
No. They weren't yet obligated. Right. If the baalim were not yet obligated to bring the asham, then that's called mechusar zman. Okay, that they were, right, like a nazir brings an asham. Let's say he didn't get to the timing that he was supposed to bring his asham. Okay, right, there's a certain, after 30 days, then he brings his korbanot. So what if it's before that? Or if you brought the b'nei shnei shtei shanim, ushchatam psulim, meaning they were supposed to be ben shana, and you brought them ben shnatayim. Vim ita, and if you want to say, now this is a bit of a jump, but what did he say before? We're going to learn for the sake of lishma and lo lishma, whether it's valid or not valid, whether it becomes disqualified. Shalmei chova from shalmei nedava. Right? Voluntary shlemim from obligatory shlemim, we're going to learn from the voluntary. And if you want to say we can learn shalmei chova from shalmei nedava, then, and as we're going to then say an asham from asham, right? Then, if we're now going to compare all asham to all asham, meaning what? Vim ita ligmar mishlamim mishlamim. If what we said was true, we should learn from shlamim, shlamim mishlamim, and therefore shlamim mishlamim gamar, asham mishlamim lo gamar, right? What did we say before that? We learn shlamim from shlamim, but we don't learn shlamim from asham, or asham mishlamim. Vi'i gamar shlamim mishlamim, ligmar nami asham me asham. In other words, the logic goes like this. If what we said before is that shlamim are learned from shlamim, right? Shlamei nedava, shlamei chova from shlamei nedava. Then asham, dine asham, should be learned from dine asham. Okay, meaning what? Okay, we haven't yet figured out what this means. Asham nazir v'asham etzora, those are brought if the animal is ben shana. And asham gzeilot and asham me'ilot are brought b'nei shnataim. So now they're going to say like this. What did we say a minute ago? If you brought the b'nei shnataim ushchatan, if you brought the asham nazir, which is supposed to be brought ben shana, and you brought it ben shnataim, right? So what happens? We say it's pasul, okay? But if we learn asham from asham, we should say like this. We should learn asham nazir and asham etzorah, me asham gzeilot, asham me'ilot. Oh, asham gzeilot, asham me'ilot, me asham nazir and asham etzorah, meaning that if you brought the ben shnataim, since it's kasher for other asham, it should be fine in this case. And we should learn the reverse, that the ones that are shnataim, the asham gzeilot and asham ilot, if you brought it ben shana, it would also be fine. Okay? And that's not true. Right? We just said, it's pasul if you bring it ben shnataim. So we're now saying we should make this jump. If we can learn shalmei chova from shalmei nedava, that if you do it shalo lishma, it's going to be kasher, right? As opposed to learning it from a chatat. Then we should learn asham to asham when it relates to the years. Okay? That if it's supposed to be this age animal, it could be the other age animal, and vice versa. But we don't do that. So therefore, that seems to contradict. So Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, Danim davar shelo behechshero, mi davar shelo behechshero. Vein danim davar shelo behechshero, mi davar shebehechshero. You're trying to compare apples and oranges. When we say we're going to learn shlamim to shlamim, what we talked about is a shalmei chova that was done shelo lishma, meaning shelo behechshero, not the right way. B'dieved, we're going to say it's kasher because we're going to learn it out from a shalmei nidava, a voluntary shlamim offer that was brought shelo behechshero, that was brought shelo lishma. In other words, we're going to say like this. When we learn one from the other, we're learning something was done in the wrong way and it's okay. So therefore, the other one that was done the wrong way is also okay. But in this case, what are we trying to say? We want to learn davar shelo behechshero. If you bring an asham nazir that was the wrong age and you brought a ben shnataim, we want to learn it out from the asham gzeilot and me'ilot that were done kehechsheram. And as we want to say, since the that's why it's a bit of a weird comparison, since the Asham Ilo and Asham Gzelot are brought with the animal as a bench natayim, which is the ayah, then we should say that an Asham Nazir, if you did it the wrong way, you did a bench natayim, it should be okay also. But those are, that's, one is the way it's supposed to be done, and we're learning out one that was done incorrectly. So therefore, we don't compare those. Because of this klal, okay, I had to, in order to start from the bottom of the daf, we had to understand all that, because now they're going to question that. So now the assumption is that we can only learn davar shelo b'hechshero from davar shelo b'hechshero, but we can't learn something that was done wrong from something that was done right, or from something the ideal way it's supposed to be done. V'lo, is that really true? V'hatanya, someone switch the light on. V'hatanya minayin liyotze she'im ala lo yered. How do you know that if something went out of the mikdash and then came back in, right? Remember, it puzzles it if it leaves the azara. And then if you put it on the mizbeach, she'im ala lo yered, it doesn't have to come off the mizbeach, right? We leave it on the mizbeach, even though it was invalid. But if once you put it on the mizbeach, we learned this a number of times, you don't have to take it off. Shaharei yotze kasher b'bama. Because yotze is valid in the bamot, meaning in the bamot there is no issue of yotze. There's no area specifically designated that's going to fossil it. Since yotze is kasher b'bama, now that's a davar, behechshero, that's the way it's supposed to be done. There is no psul of yotze. And now we're going to learn from it to something that was done in an invalid way. It was in the azara, and then it got taken out, and now it got back in the mizbeach, and we're going to learn that you don't take it off because there is a place where it's totally kasher. So that's a davar shelo behechshero, which is the yotze, and we're going to learn it out from the bama, which is kehechshero. So there you have it. It's a bad klal that we just said. Answer is Tana Azot Torata Ola Riba Samichle. I've seen this many times, which is we don't really learn it out from Imala Lo Yerei. We don't really learn out from the Bama. That's just an example they bring so you kind of remember it. It's a mnemonic device. But it's really learned out from this Pasuk Zot Torata Ola, which is a ribuy. It's a generalization, which comes to include even things that went on the Mizbeach in an incorrect manner can stay on the Mizbeach. Okay, and therefore it's not because of the limud, and therefore it doesn't contradict our klal about danim davar shelo bechshero mi davar shelo bechshero and not davar shebechshero mi davar not davar shelo bechshero mi davar shebechshero. Okay, Tani Rabba Bar Bar Chana kamei de Rav. Now Rabba Bar Bar Chana brought a teaching in front of Rav. Kivse atzeret sheshachatan l'shum elim ksherim v'lo alu l'balim l'shem chova. If you take these atzeret, kivsei atzeret, which are kvasim, b'nei shana, but you shechted them l'shem elim. In other words, now we're going to have to explain exactly what this means. But you shechted them with the intent that they were not kvasim, they were elim, which they were 2-year-olds, okay, which are not allowed to be used for kivsei atzeret. So what do we say? These are ksherim, but lo alu l'balim l'shem chova. It's as if you did it shelo lishma, okay? Meaning, we can accept your korban, just we don't accept it. You didn't fulfill the kivsei atzeret because you didn't bring kvasim. But you brought another korban shlamim. Which means what? You can then burn the imurim on the mizbeach and eat the meat. Amar le'rav, alu ve'alu. What do you mean? He says, no. Alu l'balin l'shem chova. Right? And as alu ala mizbeach and alu l'balin l'shem chova. Meaning, these are totally valid and you've been yotze your kivsei atzeret. Because in the end, what did you do? You brought kivsei atzeret. So what if you thought about that they were elim when you sacrificed them? Okay, now we're going to get into a bit of a debate about what exactly Rav is talking about, why Rav thinks that this is valid, because it does sound like shelo lishma. It's a little different from shelo lishma. It's not like you did it l'shem chatat or something, but you did it thinking they were elim. Now, if you thought they were elim, then what really were you thinking? If you remember, with the kivsei atzeret, what do we bring? We bring the two kivsei atzeret, with the l'shtei alechem, you bring two kivsei atzeret. Then you bring an additional 7 kvasim la'ola, 2 elim in 1 par la'ola. So what you were really thinking was, and this is why the first opinion says, it's if you did it l'shum elim, it sounds like you thought that these were the 2 elim of a korban ola. So then you brought them with the intent that they were a korban ola.
But one second, okay. There was an order that they brought the korban.
The korbanot of yes. The shtei alechem.
On Shavuot, they did this one and this one.
But if you didn't do it in the exact order, it would have worked anyway. So I don't think the order should bother us. Okay, so now What happens? Amar le Rav Alu v'Alu. So we're now going to have two different interpretations of Rav. Amar Rav Chista, Mistam Remilte de Rav, Bekisavor Elim, V'Shachatun L'Shum Kfasim. Okay, now Rav Chista says, I can't understand Rav otherwise when he says Alu v'Alu. It must be what he's talking about. He thought they were Elim. However, when he went to sacrifice them, he said, or he intended, right? Remember, we always have that machloket. Did he actually express it in words, or did he just think it in his head? That he did the shechita l'shem kvasim. Because l'sheharei kvasim l'shum kvasim nishchitu. Okay? In other words, then what he thought they were elim, but really they were kvasim. And he did it l'shem kvasim, and that's why Rav thinks it works. Aval, Kasavur elim v'shachatan l'shum elim, but it can't possibly be what we thought originally, which is he thought they were elim, okay, and then he shechted them thinking they were elim and did them l'shem elim. Lo, that wouldn't be alu l'shem chova. Why? Because akira b'taut havia akira. This is what we call, okay, in order for something to be shelo l'shma, that we say it switched. In other words, what happens when you do something shelo lishma, as long as it's not a chatat or the ones that are invalid? It's a valid korban, but you switched it to a different korban now. So in this case, if he had elim, and he thought they were elim, and it was all a mistake, right? In other words, he did this for an ola, thinking it was all an ola, but really it was a shlamet. That's called akira b'taut. He changed the type of korban it was by mistake, right? Because he didn't know. In other words, generally we think shelo lishma. Okay, it's all a question. This raises all the questions about what on earth he was thinking in any case. When he did it, shelo lishma, why was the Kohen intentionally? Was he intentionally? Was it a mistake? All that. So we're going to get into that. So now the assumption is here. If he did it by mistake, that's enough to switch it to a korban ola. Okay? I'm sorry, one second. Akira b'ta'ud havi akira. He switched it. Right. And if he switches it, then it would be a korban ola. And then Rav wouldn't say alu v'alu. He would say, you can sacrifice it as a korban ola, but lo alu l'balim l'shem chova, because you now turned it into a korban ola. So he thinks that Rav isn't talking about a case where it was done l'shem elim. It was only that he thought they were elim. So he had a mistake about it, what animal he thought it was, but then he did it l'shem the kvasim. Okay? But if it was done really shelo lishma, l'shem elim, for the ola, then for sure it would be considered an ola, and it would be shelo lishma, and Rav wouldn't say that. Comes Rav and he disagrees, and this is a classic difference about how we view this shelo lishma. Rabba amar akira b'taut lo havi akira. Rabba says, if you accidentally thought the korban was something else, that's not shelo lishma. That's not akira. It doesn't change its name at that point. Okay? So he thinks that Rav would hold, even if you thought it was Elim, and you shechted it, l'shem Elim, since they were kfasim, then your korban was, you were yotze, your kfasim, because it was all a mistake. And you can only, this is all about your intent, right? You can only change the intent of a korban if you had proper intent. You meant to do it, in other words, or improper intent, but real intent. But if it was by accident, because you just thought it was the wrong animal, you got confused about, you can see why they would, right? This also goes back to how did they know if it was a year or 2 years, right? It's
particularly because they were all dated from the same day, so it doesn't mean that they were active. It was actually 12 months old. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was before or after one day when they were born, so you could have one that was really only a year and 3 days.
Exactly. So basically, we're going to now say, therefore, there's this whole machloka, which is very interesting, about whether akira b'taut really changes the korban itself, okay, or not. So Amar Rava, umotvin. Okay, there's a whole different girsa, whether Rava in different places, but right now Amar Rava, umotvin anashmatin. Okay, Rava says, right, I think that some people say this is Rava here. Yeah, some people say this is Rava talking. Okay, Rava just said a minute ago, akira b'taut lo havi akira, but now he's going to bring a contradiction to what he says based on the Mishnah. Hakoanim shepiglu b'mikdash, Mizidin Chayavim. If Kohanim did pigul in the Mikdash, okay, this is a Mishnah in Gittin. Kohanim did pigul in the Mikdash. If they were Mizidin, then they're Chayavim. What are the Chayavim? To remember what happens. The Kohen messes up the pigul. He pigles, mafagels the korban. Now the Baalim have to bring a new korban. So if they did it b'mezid on purpose, then they have to replace. They have to financially compensate the person whose korban they messed up. What?
That's what we've been wondering about.
Right, exactly. So here we see it explicitly. Ha shogegin p'turim. But what does it sound like? If they were shogeg, they'd be pater. However, there's a braita that says v'tanei ala, or not however, but right? That's just talking about financial culpability. But now there's a braita about that Mishnah that says pigulam pigul. But their pigul is pigul whether it was mazid or shogeg. So what do you see here? Right, we're gonna. It sounds like Akira b'taot havia Akira. Okay, so hechidami. What's the case of the Mishnah? Ilema deyada dechatati. If he knew it was a korban chatat, the kamachashe ba l'shum shlamim. But he had this intent that it's going to be l'shem shlamim. Hai shogegin mezidin havu. That would be mezid. It has to be knew it was chatat, and he does it l'shem shlamim. That would be mezid, and it's obvious here that there is a shogeg case, right? El alav, it must be kasavor shlamimu. He thought it was a shlamim. He had this animal. He shechs it, thinking it was a shlamim. V'kamachashe b'hu l'shum shlamim. And he does it l'shum shlamim. That must be your shogeg case. In which case, and what does it say in the Braita? V'katane pigulam pigul. So there you see that even if it's b'shogeg, we're going to call it pigul. Alma akira b'taud havya akira. Okay, therefore, if that goes against, as Rabba saying, whether it's Rabba or Rabba, you know, whether it's Rabba himself contradicting what he said, or Rabba bringing contradiction from the Mishnah on Rabba, then basically we're going to say, it sounds like from here, Akira b'tor Rabbi Akira. Amarle Abaye comes Abaye in his defense and says, no, la'olam diyada dechatati, v'kamachashe ba l'shum shlamim. Now, whenever we talk about shogeg, there's two types of shogeg. One is, you didn't know what it was. That's what the case was here. If you didn't know what it was, that would be called Akira b'tor. But there's a different kind of shogeg also. What's the other kind of shogeg? You knew what it was, but you didn't know it was usher to do what you did. So you did the act b'mezid, but you didn't know that it was usher to do it. So that he's going to say, uba omer mutar. Okay, in other words, it was a chatat. He thought, I'm going to sacrifice this l'shum shlamim. Maybe he needed a korban shlamim. You know, he didn't know there was anything wrong with doing that. And therefore, that's what's called shogeg. Then he's not going to be chayav, but his pigul is pigul. But if, according to this now, but if he was shogeg and he thought that the korban was actually a korban shlamim, then it wouldn't be pigul. You could say that. Okay, that's Abaye's explanation. That would take this Mishnah and support Rabbi's explanation from this Mishnah. Okay, Mativ Rabbi Zera. Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rabbi from a Braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kol haminachot, this is actually a Tosefta in the first parak of Zvachim. I think, right, parak Aleph? Oh, no, maybe it's a Tosefta in parak Aleph of Menachot, right? It's the beginning of the Tosefta, it's the first Tosefta in Menachot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol haminachot shenikmitzu shelo lishman, ksherot v'alu labalim l'shem chova. Okay, sound familiar? Any mincha that you did shelo lishma is kasher, and it's alu labalim l'shem chova. This is Rabbi Shimon. She'ein ha-minachot omot l'zvachim. We learned this all. The minachot are different from zvachim. Why is this? Sha'komet machvat l'shum marcheshet. If you take something that's supposed to be done in a shallow pan, and I have them right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do it l'shum marcheshet, that it should be done in the deep pan, right? Which is a totally different way of preparing it. In other words, if you have the intent for macheshet, but in the end you do all the avodot like machvat, your intention doesn't matter because your ma'asim prove that you really intended it the right way, even though you had this mistaken intention somewhere along the way, but your actions prove what you were doing. Chareva, if you take a mincha that's supposed to be dry, and l'shum b'lula, but you do it, right, and it's supposed to be without oil, right? That's what it means, dry. And you do it l'shum b'lula. You do it with the intent of that's supposed to be with oil. Remember, there's different ones with oil, without oil. Maaseh mochachina la'ashi charefa. In the end, you're going to do it without oil, so that's going to prove that was really what your intent was in the first place. So all those things are ksherim, basically. Okay? Aval bizvachim, but take sacrifices. Yushachta chatat. Yushachta shlamim. The act is exactly the same, right? In a mincha, there's all these distinctions between the different types of minachot. But when it comes to animal sacrifice, your acts are all the same. Shchita achad lekulam, kabbalah achad lekulam, zricha achad lekulam. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon's shita. How's this going to contradict Rabba? Because now they're going to say, Hechidami. Ilema diyada de machvatu. Again, we're going to give all the possibilities. If you're going to say, he knew it was a machvat, but it was supposed to be done in a machvat. But he intended, right? He had that intent, I'm going to do it in a deep pan, even though he really didn't do it in a deep pan. What should the relevance be? If we say that Akira b'ta'ut, havya Akira, right, 1 second. In other words, whether or not the ma'asim prove anything, it doesn't matter. He switched the intention, right? That's what we're going to say here. 1 second.
He did deliberately.
Right, and therefore, it should be problematic, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the logic of Rabbi Shimon saying his ma'asim mochichim, he was actually okay this and turned it into something else with his machshavot. Elalav, it must be de kasavar marcheshti. He really thought it was a marcheshet, v'kakametz l'shum marcheshet v'ta'a. But he made a mistake. Dehachahu de ma'asem mochichin aleh. Okay, and therefore, since he thought it was it, 1 second. Right, and that's what he comes to say. So since he was mistaken, he made a mistake, we're going to allow the ma'aseh mochichin aleh, that in the end, when he does it right and fixes it, that's going to make it okay. Because in the end, a different, right, it's prepared differently, as opposed to a zevach, which is going to be prepared all the same, and therefore, the fact they made a mistake isn't going to be relevant. So now, what's implied from here? Then in a mincha, if you made the mistake, since you made a mistake, then we're going to, if you did it intentionally, for sure you messed up the mincha. There's no way to say you didn't mess up the mincha if you did it intentionally. If you do it unintentionally, but the ma'asim, the way you prepare it, proves what it is, then we can sort of ignore your mistake. But then what is that implying? We can only ignore your mistake if ma'asem ochin aleh, but in a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, where there's no ma'aseh that's going to show that it was done correctly. Then we're going to say your mistake messed it up. What does that prove? Akira b'alma, in a regular case, akira b'ta'ut havya akira. That if it was a mistake in an animal sacrifice, it's going to be a problem. Meaning you were okay to something else. It's a problem. That disagrees explicitly with what Rabba said. So now I'm going to have to answer that. Amar Abaye, again, Abaye comes to support. Leolam diyada demachvati. Really, he did know it was a machvat. It wasn't a mistake. V'kakametzla l'shum r'cheshet. And he did the kmitza l'shum r'cheshet, even though he knew full well it was a machvat. So what did we ask before? V'kamarta ki ma'aseh mochichin ala mai have. And you said, right, before we said, why should the ma'aseh mochichim fix anything in that case? It was done b'mezid. Rabba, okay, there's again, debate whether it's Rabba or Rabba. It seems like it should be Rabba. Rabba l'ta'ame. Rabba goes l'shitato here. He would explain it in his way. Da'amar Rabba, machshava de lo minkera paso rachmana. Machshava de minkera lo paso rachmana. A machshava that's, a machshava de minkera means if it was a machshava that it's not, no, and it's what kind of thing messes it up? It's a machshava the kohen has that's not noticeable. Okay? That no one would know whether he had it or not. It's like a way that the kohen has control that no one else could get to. It reminds me of that Mishnah of the woman. The famous Mishnah about a woman, Hayochet Shalobik Tubata, she's a veral dot Moshe and dot Yudit, right? Dot Yudit is like she goes out in the shuk with her hair uncovered. That's the famous that everybody knows, right? But there's all these other things where she takes maaser, she doesn't take maaser and she doesn't tell her husband, right? Or she comes to them when she's in need and doesn't tell him. Okay, so that there's ways that she has control that he doesn't know. Those are machshavot that mess up. Okay, but a machshava de minkira, something that's noticeable, okay, we're here, and that if it's obvious, he has this machshava that's 1 second. Let me make sure that was a good comparison. He has a machshava that's obvious that it's sheker. then it's not pasul. In other words, he has a machshava. Okay, this works, by the way, much better with Rashi, who holds that the machshava is said out loud. So if he says something out loud, and it's obvious he's lying, because in a minute later they're going to prepare it in the marcheshet and not in the machvat, or the vice versa, whichever one it is, then that doesn't mess it up, because it whatever his thought was gets disproven, so we don't really care so much. But when he has a thought that we won't know whether it was wrong or right or anything else, where there's no ma'asim shemokhechim, then that's when we pasal rachmana. So this sugya all gets into all sorts of issues about this psul of lo lishma. It gets much more underneath the surface about what actually pasals it. And there's different suggestions here about, is it only mazid? Is it even shogeg? Is it something that would be noticeable, right? Are we trying to, is it because he kind of messes something up in a way that nobody even notices? There's all different things at play here about what exactly causes this psul of machshava. Okay, new Mishnah. Hatmidin, this part of the Gemara is a lot simpler. Hatmidin ein ma'akvinat ha-musafin. Below ha-musafin ma'akvinat hatmidin. Okay, korban tamid doesn't prevent you from doing the musaf, right? Not having the tamid, not having the musaf is a ma'akev the tamidin. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the intent is here. Below ha-musafin ma'akvin zeitzen. The korbanot musaf, all the extra korbanot you bring on those special days, right? All the days where we say musaf. And we have a list of all the korbanot. They're not ma'akev zeitzen. Lo ikrivu keves baboker. What if you didn't bring the korban tamid in the morning? Remember, you bring the korban tamid once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Yakrivu bena arbaim. You could sacrifice it in the afternoon. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ematai. When can you do this? Bizman shayu anusino shogegin. It's only if you were onus in the morning. Okay, you couldn't find a keves, let's say. Okay, or you were busy with something that was so important, you couldn't get to it. Aval ima yumizidin. But if they intentionally didn't bring the keves in the morning. Then you can't sacrifice it in the afternoon. Rashi says, interestingly, he says it doesn't mean that you actually can't sacrifice it. I think it's Rashi, right? Or maybe it's not Rashi. I don't know. I saw it somewhere. That it just means the Kohen who is the specific Kohen who messed up in the morning isn't allowed to be the Kohen who does the sacrifice in the afternoon. But obviously you can bring the sacrifice in the afternoon. Okay? Ktoret, also they would bring once in the morning, once in the afternoon. They would bring like half of the amount in the morning, half the amount in the afternoon. So lo k'tiru baboker yaktiru ben ha'arbayim. Amar Rabbi Shimon, v'kulai takriva ben ha'arbayim. As if you didn't do the k'torah in the morning, then you take the whole amount, and as normally you did half in the morning, half at night, in the evening. In this case, you would do both, the whole thing. If you didn't do it in the morning, you take that whole amount and burn it in the afternoon.
But you don't bring two lambs in the afternoon?
Right, no. She'em mechanchin it mizbach ha'zahav ele b'k'torah ha'samim. Okay, this line is not clear, and we'll only get to it tomorrow's daf. But it sounds like maybe this is explaining this part of the Mishnah, maybe it's explaining something previously. But let's assume it's explaining this. You have to bring the whole amount because the way you were being mechanech, the Mizbach HaZahav, is with the Ketoret HaSamim. Okay, we've learned this before, that when they would first initiate it, before you used it for the first time, you had to first put on it the Ketoret HaSamim, burn it on it before you could use the Mizbach HaZahav for anything else. Remember, they did the sprinkling of the blood and other things on the Mizbach HaZahav. The lo Mizbach HaOla, ela b'tamid shel shachar. Okay, when you want to be mechanech, you want to, what's the word? To consecrate or to use it for the first time? Initiate. You want to initiate the Mizbach HaOla, you have to first put on the tamid shel shachar. That's the first sacrifice that has to be put. This is when you have a new Mizbach. Okay, you'd have to do the lechem apanim on Shabbat, put them on the shulchan for its first use. You'd have to, before you use the menorah, you'd have to make sure all seven candles are lit and do it bein ha'arbayim in the afternoon, because that was the time they would light the candles. So now the Gemara starts off with a question. If you have a tzibur that doesn't have tamidim u'musafim, they don't have enough money to afford all the animals, which one goes first? Hechidami. What's the case? What's the case that you're asking this question? Ilema tamidim diyome u'musafim diyome. If the point is you don't have enough for the korban tamid of today and the musaf. Today's a good example. We're in Sukkot. You would bring the korban tamid and you would bring the korbanot musaf that we read this morning when we daven musaf. So you don't have enough to bring both. Pshita tmidin adife. It's obvious that you would bring the korban tamid. There's no question. So why do you ask the question on that? Can't be. Because dehabu le tadir umekudash. because they're both more regular. We have that concept that everything is more regular. Tadir v'sheino, tadir, tadir kodem. And they're mikudash. Some people say they're more holy because it's because they're supposed to be brought first. Okay. Some people say no. It means that the tmidim of Sukkot have a different sanctity than the tmidim of a regular day. So if you want to say the musafim are, you know, sanctified for this specific day, well, the tamid also has special sanctity for this day, and therefore the tamid of this day has two things going for it, and the musaf only is mekudash. Okay, or you say like the first, which is it's actually more sanctified because it comes first. Ella tmidin de lemachar umusafin de haidna tmidin adife. It must, or maybe it comes to be saying that the question must be about this. You already did your tamid of today, but now you only have enough money for today's musaf or tomorrow's tmidin. So what do you do? Tmidin adife shekein tadir. Do we have to worry about tomorrow's tmidin more than today's musaf because it's tadir? Odilma musafin adife dahavulehu mekudash. Or maybe you say, no, the musafim are better because they're specially sanctified for that day. So Amar Leh, he answers him from our Mishnah. Tani Tua, why don't you learn the answer from our Mishnah? Hatmidin e makvin et musafim, velo musafim makvin et hatmidin, velo musafim makvin ze et ze. What's the assumption of the case of this Mishnah is? Hey chidami, ile madi ile ule kadem. If you want to say, Einat midim makvin et musafim is just a matter of the order. If you did the musaf first, it's fine. If you did the tamid first, it's fine. Vahatanya, minayin shalo yehet avar kodem le tamid shal shachar. How do we know that nothing can come before the Tamid Shel Shachar? Meaning that can't be what it is, because obviously the Tamid Shel Shachar goes first. Tamud Lamar, how do we learn this? Because it says, Va'arach aleha ha'ola. Va'amarava ha'ola ola rishona. When it says, Arach aleha ha'ola, what do you write? That's what you put on the Mizbeach. What do we learn? Ha'ola is ola rishona. In other words, the thing, that the first ola, which is the Korban Tamid. So therefore, it can't be that. Ela pshita, our Mishnah must be talking about, when it says, this is not ma'akev that, must be delaytle, that you don't have the tmidin and the musafim, you only have one of them. V'idiyome, and if you mean that it's the tamid of that day and the musaf of that day, and he's basically going to say, the exact question he asked is the exact case in our Mishnah. Because if you say that the Mishnah is talking about, like we just said a minute ago, that you didn't have, you only have one for that day, you didn't have the other one for that day, amai, tadir umakudash, tadir adif, you wouldn't say, because you would say the tamid would obviously go first, so it would be obvious, right? Ein zema akev zed zed would mean it doesn't matter which one you do. El alav de lemachar, so it must be they're talking about that you only have either the musaf of, enough for either the musaf of today or the tamid of tomorrow. And then what's the Mishnah telling you? Vekatane emak vin zed zed alma ki adanin inu. They're equal at that point, okay? And you could do whichever one you want, okay? The obvious reason to say that you should, right, that you should do the musaf first is because you're in today. Do it today and worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, right? It's a good question. Okay.
There's just a beautiful Dvar Torah about this. I have to say that I heard that's so beautiful. It's like you would think that you would do the holiday one, but there are people who like appreciate every day, and you have to appreciate what you get every day is actually more special. You wake up and you breathe. I heard
right.
That.
Right. So, yeah.
It's more special even than a holiday.
Yes. Yes. In general, that's the word about the Korban Tamid, that it's that constant thing you do every single day. It's kind of like Dafyomi, right? Mm-hmm. That there's something to that consistency throughout your life, as opposed to, you know, the holidays is a highlight. It's very easy to do. It's fun. But it's the consistency that really, you know, is the power, is the strength.
That's what the Nehemiah made me say Kaddish every day.
Right.
That's exactly why I made this decision.
Right. Okay. Amar le Abaye. So now Abaye says you can't prove it from the Mishnah. Lo olam di'it lehu ulekadem. Maybe it really is. This is exactly, by the way, this structure of this is exactly the same as the structure in the previous Mishnah, where he explains the source in one way to contradict Rava, and then comes up by and says, no, maybe you could read it in another way. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the way you reject it, and I can explain why it's not rejected. De'it lehu ulekadem. It really is that he has both, and the issue is that you don't have to do one before the other. You can do it in any order you want. U'dekakashile shelo yehe davar kodem. Didn't we say nothing can go before the Korban Tamid? Mitzvah ba'almahu, you could say that's just ideally, but practically speaking, in the end, and it's yes, ideally you should do the Korban Tamid first. But if you did the Musaf before, it's fine. Okay, Tashma. Now we're going to bring another source that's going to Nachman. The source is... Right, they want to come up with an answer to his question. Okay, again, his question is, if you had the Musaf of tomorrow, I'm sorry, the Musaf of today and the Korban Tamid of tomorrow, which would you do first? So why don't we learn from here? Tashma. Ein pochatim mishisha tzla'im ha-mevukarim b'lishkat ha-tzla'im kedei l'shabbat u'lishnei yamim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah. You can't have less than six lambs that are checked in the Lishkat HaTzla'im. There was a place called the Lishkat HaTzla'im where they would keep the lambs. And you have to make sure to always have six. Why six? Because for Shabbat and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, in other words, in their day, there was no Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galiot. Only on Rosh Hashanah, potentially, you could have 2 days, not always, but you could have 2 days. And therefore, there could be, that's the only time where you would have 3 days Ratzuf of Chag or Shabbat. And because of that, they wanted you to have enough in the Lishkat HaTzla'im at all times for those 3 days, for the maximum, right? That was the maximum capacity you would need, you know, in advance. And that would be two a day. Hechidami. If the case where he had tmidim and musafim, enough for each, tuvahavu, would be a lot more than this. You would need 22 kvasim, okay? Because you would need seven on Rosh Hashanah for Rosh Hashanah, seven on Rosh Hashanah for Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Hashanah was also Rosh Chodesh. There were seven kvasim. So that would be 14. There were two for the musaf of Shabbat, which is another two. And then add your other six to each day of the Korban Tamid, you get to 22. Elalav delately. It must be that you didn't have. And what do you learn from here? You didn't have enough. How many? What's your minimum you need? Six. Six for the Korban Tamid. Ushma mina tmidim adife. Okay? So they say, lo, la'olam di'itle. This isn't a case where we're saying, in case you didn't have any, make sure to at least have six because all you have to do is your tmidim. No. Really, this means you have lots of them. But what's it telling you? V'hachi kamar. Ein pochatim mishishat shla'in ha-mevukarim b'lishkat ha-tla'im dalad yamim kodem shchita. Umane ben Bagbag, he Titania ben Bagbag Omer, Minayin letamid sheta'um bikor dalad yamim kodem shchita, Talmud lamar tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. Okay, I'll stop for a second, we're still kind of in the middle, but what's he saying? This whole idea of the six tla'im is to teach you that you always have to have six lambs that are checked from mumim 4 days before you shech them, so you have to have six in advance so that you have for the next few days. Okay, and this goes according to Ben Bagbag, who says, how do we know that you have to check the lambs 4 days before Shechita, specifically for the Korban Tamid? Because it says the word Tishmiru, you should observe, La'akriv li b'moado. And what do we learn from Tishmiru? U'lahalam, by Korban Pesach, what does it say? V'ayahu omer, v'ayah lachem l'mishmeret ad arba'a sar yom. On the 10th day, they had to take the lamb and designate him for the 14th. Why'd they take the lamb on Yud Nisan in the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Because they had to check for 4 days, make sure it didn't have a mum. So mala halan to umbikor arba ayamim kodem shchita, avkan to umbikor arba ayamim kodem shchita. There it says mishmeret. By Korban Tamid it says tishmeru. So you learn that it needs 4 days before shchita. Okay, so that now they're saying that whole thing didn't really have to do with Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat. Okay, even though it says it, and we're going to see in a minute what it means, but they're going to say it's because you needed to have them designated before. So, Amrle Ravina le Ravashi, Hane Shisha Shiv'ahavu. If it's really, I kind of prefaced it before, but what they're saying is you need 4 days Kodem, so you need it, and you need it for those 3 days. And if you need it for those 3 days, you're going to need also for the morning after Rosh Hashanah. If it has to be checked 4 days, you're going to have to need an extra one for the next morning. So now they say, right, it should be Shiva. So they say that, right, Dahaika Ditzafra, Ditlata Bishabta, you have the morning of the 3rd day after. Vilitame Timnahavu, then they say, well, according to that, you should even have 8. Daika Depanya Dimale Shabta, you need Erev Shabbat also, right, before you have to bring that in the afternoon, just before Shabbat. So they say, no, Halokasha, the second one's not a question, Dilabatar De Ikriv Ka'amar. This was after you finish the Korban Ben Arbaim on Erev Shabbat, then you need to have 6 for the next few days. But Mikomakom Shivahavu, but still you need 7. So now they say, this isn't really, it didn't really mean you need for Rosh Hashanah and those 2 days, and Shabbat. Umay kedei l'shabbat v'shei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, simana ba'alma. It's just a siman. In other words, a way to remember that you need 6. Because they say, oh, well, think about Shabbat and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's 6. But not that you need them for that for the event that that will happen. No, it just means that you always have to have six because they always have to be checked 4 days before. And then every day you take out two and you put in another two. And then, you know, you have what you need for the next few days. So, and dikanami dikatana, dikanami dikatana, you can prove it from the words. It says, kedei l'shabbat, u'l'shneim tov Rosh Hashanah, and it doesn't say, v'lo katani, l'shabbat, u'l'shneim tov Rosh Hashanah, shma mina. It says, kedei, like for Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat. It doesn't say for Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.